right, I want to jump right into this. Today is a standalone message, and I really just want to address something that I think we all feel in our everyday life. And it's going to sort of revolve around one word, and that word is a word we don't like, confusion. I feel like we could all say our world seems more confused than it's ever been. You know, sort of an uncertainty. It seems like things are a little bit jumbled. It's confusing. There's just lots of things going on that really cause, I think, a lack of clarity, a lack of understanding. We all understand what it means to be confused. If you've ever tried to communicate with anybody for any length of time, there are times when, even in a marriage, you look at each other and go, "I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even get it. What do you back up? What was the first thing you said?" And we have to go back and figure it out together, right? And I feel like in our society, we're at that place where it's so confusing. But people are beyond asking for clarity. There's a lot of screaming going on in our world. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world. And of course, all of the things with Israel this week and all that goes along with that, there's so much confusion. And we're just praying for Israel and we're praying for peace. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And we're praying that God would protect people and God would look out for people and God would bless his people. And that's all we can do. But the Bible tells us that that's what we're supposed to do. And so there's so much confusion. So much confusion. I love what the story I heard about. A family had missed school. Their child had missed school on a Monday, and mom sent the teacher a letter, and it said, "Dear teacher, please excuse Harriet, the little girl, their daughter, for missing school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper off the porch, and when we found it on Monday, we thought it was Sunday, so we stayed home." Now listen, I know you don't get the newspaper anymore, but we all get it, right? We all get it. There are days when we just say, like the guy said, "I finally got a hold of my inner self," and he's just as confused as I am. All right? We understand it. There's this deep confusion going on in our world. And sociologists are even coming up with terminology to help describe it. There's a phrase in sociology called cultural dissonance. Cultural dissonance. Dissonance is just disharmony. It would be like if you or me and maybe some of you tried to come up here and lead worship in the 11 o'clock service this morning. It'd be some disharmony going on, right? So far, they haven't invited me to be on the team with them, all right? So we understand. At the first few episodes of every American Idol season, they have these tremendous singers, and then they have the people that you're just like, "I don't know who told them they could sing." I mean, even I know they can't sing. That's what these sociologists are referring to. It's cultural disharmony. It's discord. It's confusion. It's conflict. It's experience with people in the midst of change and cultural upheaval. And we all know what this means. All we have to do is pick up our phone. We don't know which media outlet to trust, and we don't know which politician to trust, and prices are going up, and it feels like every day there's a new philosophical earthquake shaking the very foundations we're standing on. We're challenged. Old thoughts are being challenged, and it's just very confusing. But I got good news. I got good news. That is not what God wants for you and me. He wants us to walk with clarity in a very confusing world. There's no reason a child of God can't walk through a confusing world with peace and clarity. Philippians chapter 4 says this, "His peace," talking about God's peace, "His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus." His peace will guard your... Imagine a soldier standing at a door, guarding that door, not allowing anything in that shouldn't be allowed in, right? That's what it says peace is going to do for your heart and your mind, my heart, my mind, that God wants us to have peace in a very confusing world. Confusion is not what God wants for us. There's this sense that we are always trying to catch our breath, that we're always trying to figure out the next move, that we're afraid of saying certain things and doing certain things, and old norms are being challenged. And so there's this tension going on that God does not want us to experience every day. Confusion, I'm going to say it again, confusion is not what God wants for us. 1 Corinthians 14 says this, "For God is not the author of confusion." Now we could stop there and stay all day. God is not the author of confusion. God is never the one that stirs it up. All right. When I was in college, I worked at a sheet metal factory, and there was one guy there, and his—I'll just tell you his name. His name was Zeke, and Zeke was just known for stirring up trouble. He would just, we'd be working, and I was Zeke's helper. He'd been doing this job for 1,000 years, and he would just tell me, "All right, boy, just stand at the end there and catch that metal when it comes out. And here's my job all day, just stacking metal all day." But I watched Zeke, and he just loved to stir something up. You know somebody like this at work? And they just loved to stir something up. And he would say, hey, watch this, watch this. And he would stop somebody as they're walking by in the plant, and he would make up some outrageous lie about somebody else across the plant. And he would go, "It'll be all over the plant by lunch. Watch this." And then he would just watch as people start talking to each other and spreading a rumor. And then finally he'd say, "Oh, I'm just kidding." I don't know how the guy kept his job, but he was fun to work around, all right? It was just this, he loved confusion. He just loved it. God is not the author of confusion. God doesn't work that way. God is all about order. He does things in an orderly manner. He's a God of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, God does not want us to walk in confusion. He wants us to walk in the opposite of that, order and peace. So why is it so important to clear this confusion out? Why is it so important to clear the confusion? Because one statement I'm going to share. My choices determine my destination. I choose every day. I make choices that are directing my life. This morning on your way to church, you probably drove to church, and you probably made half a dozen turns or more. Now, if you had made one of those turns in the wrong direction, you would have ended up somewhere else. You might be at Walmart right now, all right? Maybe you'd be having coffee at Starbucks. I don't know where you'd be, but you probably wouldn't be here if you would have just changed one of those. And so we have to make sure that we filter out the confusion in our lives so that we can make the right choices, the choices God wants us to make. You ever get that last sip of coffee? You know, it's that third cup of coffee in the morning. You know, some of you are with me, all right? That last cup of coffee in the morning, you're like, "I'm just going to get this last swallow out. I'm going to just this last drink, and I'm going to go. I got to go. I got things to do." And you turn that coffee cup up, and you get a mouthful of coffee grounds. And you run to the sink, and it's an ugly scene, and you're just glad nobody's videoing it because it's awful. I think confusion is kind of the same way. We're drinking from culture. We're drinking from culture. And we got a lot of stuff going on that we don't like. It doesn't taste good. This doesn't feel right because we haven't filtered out the confusion. We're just accepting it the way it is. Well, that's just the way life is. No. God never said a believer should live their life in confusion. Even when the whole world is confused, the Bible teaches us some things that will help us filter out the confusion from our life so that we can move forward every step in an orderly manner with peace, doing this the way God wants us to do it. So I want to share four things with you, four ways to filter out the confusion. Here's number one, God's Word. God's Word. Now look, if you never open the book, it's not going to do you any good. Just because you own grandma's Bible that she read 100 times does not mean one thing until you open the book. Look at what it says, Psalm 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." He said, look, if you want to know which way to go, you're going to have to open the word. The word is a lamp for your feet, a light for your path. The indication is that the path is dark. The path is dark. That's why we need light. And sometimes we sort of feel our way through life wondering, why am I confused? Why did I end up here? Why didn't I end up over there? Why didn't things work out differently? God's word is the first way to start filtering out confusion. Now listen, the Bible is full of very direct messages, right? It tells us some things to do. Like if your cousin asks you to sign with them to borrow the money to buy a boat, and you're like, well, I don't know if I should do it. I'm going to give you a scripture this morning. You're going to thank me later. Proverbs 17:18 says, it's poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt. So it's poor judgment. So that's a very direct thing. But the Bible also tells us things that are not as direct, like love your enemy. Well, it doesn't tell you exactly how to love your enemy, but it tells you to love your enemy. There's some room there to figure out how to love your enemy. But when we start to filter out the confusion by saying, what does God's word say? God's word is the measuring tape by which everything else should be measured. I can't get truth from TikTok. Come on. Y'all, let's get real. How many? Oh, I got to be careful. All right. We're going to do it anyway. Here we go. So when we start quoting Instagram reels and TikTok reels as the truth, we're in trouble. Because everybody on there has an agenda. There's a reason they are doing it and saying what they're saying. We got to start with the truth right here and measure all that other stuff by this. And when we do that, some special things happen. Mark chapter 13, verse 31 says this, heaven and earth will pass away. Let's stop there. Heaven and earth will pass away. And all the stuff you see is going to be gone one day. TikTok's going to be gone one day. Instagram, all those, everybody is going to be gone one day. Everybody. But my words will never pass away. So am I going to base my life on something I read somewhere by somebody that doesn't have my best interest at heart? Or am I going to base my life on the eternal word of God? I have choices, remember? It's my choices that determine where I end up. It's my choices that determine my destination. John 8:31 says this, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, if you live in my word, You are my disciples indeed. Now, this is the important part. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If I'm walking in bondage, then I'm probably not walking according to Scripture. I'm not doing this the way God tells me to do it. I love the part of this that says, if you abide in my word. That word abide means to live. Do you live in my word? We're gonna say it, all right? Am I living in God's word, or am I living by nuggets that I find on social media? Am I living by quotes from people I like and agree with everything I think somewhere else? Or am I abiding in God's word? Am I living in God's word? There's something special that happens. We filter out the confusion when we live in God's word, because here's the problem. The people who are screaming at us on the internet and everywhere else are going to change their mind one day. God, the Bible says, will never change his mind. This is the eternal word of God. We can count on it today and tomorrow and 1,000 years from now. So we filter out the confusion. Here's the second way we filter out confusion, by godly counsel. Finding godly counsel. Proverbs 24:6. So don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. He said, look, don't go fight a war when you haven't talked to people that are smarter than you. So just look at somebody, and I want you to say this. Just look at them. I know you introverts, you're nervous right now. Just look at them and say, I am not the smartest person in the room. Woo! Oh. I mean, I guess one of you doesn't have to say it, all right? One of you is the smartest person in the room. I don't know who that is. Listen, how many times do we think, I got it figured out? I'm not asking anybody. I'm going to do it my way. The Bible says, would you go to a war without finding out how to go to war? You're going to talk to somebody who's been in a war. Talk to somebody who understands this thing. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool, this one's painful, all right? It's not going to be on the screen. I just want you to hear it. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. The Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Now, the Bible tells me never call anybody a fool, so I'm not going to call it, but I'm going to quote it. A fool says, I'm right. I'm right. I don't need to listen to anybody. I got this. It's foolish. It's foolish. Seek advice from someone who abides in God's word. Somebody who has some experience. Somebody who's been through some stuff and you trust their relationship with God. Find somebody that you believe in and somebody who believes in you. I'm going to take this one step further. There's a famous quote that says, he who is taught only by himself has a fool for a master. If I don't listen to people in my life, now listen, you got to be careful who you listen to. Don't surround yourself with people that think just like you think. All right? If you do that, we're acting like children. Because that's what we do as children. What do you think? Well, your parents are stupid. All right? I mean, come on. That's what we did. We all did it. All right? He said, look, counsel means you're going to hear some things you like and some things you don't like. But listen to it. Filter out the confusion. Filter out the confusion. Here's number three. We filter out confusion by God-given wisdom. By the miraculous God-given wisdom. James 1 and 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. Our generous God. That's an important part of this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He said, if you're in a situation where you need wisdom from God, how to handle this, ask God. Ask God. Here's your working definition of wisdom. Knowledge is knowing the facts. Knowing the facts. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the facts. Wisdom is saying, I understand my situation. I got the knowledge. I've assessed it. I'm looking at it. Wisdom says, now what do I do with this in a godly way? How does God want me to handle this? And it says we're to pray about it. We're to ask his help. Now, here's the fourth one. We filter out confusion with God's voice. We let him speak to us. We listen for God's voice in the chaos. The prophet in the Old Testament was in the mountains and there was earthquakes and wind and he said, I don't hear God's voice and all that, but man, God whispered to me and I heard him. I heard his voice. It's in a whisper. Just a whisper. And we've got all sorts of loud confusion going on in our world. And listen, somebody said it like this, God is a gentleman. God's never going to force you to listen to him, but he is always there ready to speak to us. But we got to slow down long enough to listen for God's voice. Does God still speak to us today? Well, God spoke to people throughout the Bible. He spoke to Noah 5 times and Abraham 8 times and Isaac 2 times and Jacob 7 times. In Acts, God spoke to Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and Peter and Paul. He spoke to them very directly. It's easy to say, though. I've never heard God's audible voice. I'm with you. I've never heard God's audible voice. I don't know if we can handle it if we heard God's audible voice. But here's the way God speaks to us in that whisper. We've talked about this before. It's that nudge of the Spirit. It's just him saying, hey, I want you to listen for a minute. I got something to say to you. That nudge, we could call it the soft impression you sense when God is gently guiding your steps. Jody and I have been married a long time, 30 years. She doesn't look it, I know, and I do, all right? But here's the deal. We've been married a long time, so when we are somewhere together and she's ready to leave or I'm ready to leave, we don't have to make a big deal of it. Here's what we do. Everybody knows exactly what that means if you're married. It's time. I'm out of here. I don't want to make a big scene. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm ready to go. Let's go. Some of us, God is trying to move us out of that place we're in, but we refuse to be sensitive to the nudge of the Spirit when He's dealing with us. He's trying to nudge us. God doesn't grab you by the scruff of the neck and drag you out, not to start with. All right? Read some Old Testament stuff later. It gets ugly. That's why it's important to listen to God first. What's He saying? What's God, what is that nudge of the Spirit saying to you? Now, the nudge is always going to align with God's Word. All right? God's never going to speak anything new to you. It's not going to be something that's not in the book. It's going to be in the book, or He's not going to say it to you, right? It's going to agree with His Word. His Word is the measuring tape by which we measure everything else, all right? So how can we be sensitive to the nudge in a world that is screaming in confusion? Well, what can we do? How can we approach this? How can we do this God's way? I want to share a few things with you. If I'm going to live by the nudge of the Spirit, we've talked about these before. Be aware that the Holy Spirit is working all around you. God is always working. When you feel despair at work, when you're waking up in the morning, when you're trying to pay the bills next week, when you're dealing with the family, whatever is going on, God is always working. When you get the bad doctor's report, God is always working. And I will not be sensitive to the nudge of the Spirit if I don't believe God is working in my situation. I have to know and I have to believe that He is always working. So what is the thing right now that you are most concerned about, that you are most worried about, the thing that is keeping you up at night? God is already working in that situation. He's already involved. So if I'm going to hear His voice, if I'm going to sense Him when He nudges me, I'm going to have to know He's working all the time. Here's the second one. Start each day with prayer and Bible reading. Tune the dial. Now, this is an old reference, all right? Some of you remember radios that tuned. And if you don't know what that is, we need to share. We need to teach you some things because this is important. There was a dial on the radio and you had to turn it. There wasn't a button where you get to the next station automatically. You're like, I think there's a radio station around here. And you turn it both ways until you finally, and it finally comes in. And there's that country music you've been waiting for all this time. Whatever kind of music. So you had to tune. It took a minute. It took a minute. TV was the same way. When I was growing up, we had an antenna outside. There was no cable TV. So somebody stood outside and twisted the pole on the antenna, and somebody stood inside and screamed, stop, stop right there. It meant we got a picture. We can see it. And then when you let go of it, it goes, and then turns back the other way. The same thing's going to happen in our personal life. If we don't tune the dial every day, we're going to become just as confused as this world is. We're going to wonder why there's just snow and static going on all the time. We have to take time to tune the dial with prayer and Bible reading. You got to open your Bible. You got to pray. All right? Here's the third one. Be sensitive to the nudge. Be sensitive to the nudge. Before you have children, you could be in a crowd and people are bumping into you and you're just like, whatever, it's just a crowd. But the minute you bring your child into that crowd and they tug on your shirt, there can be people pushing and you feel that simple little tug. Why? Because you love them and you want to take care of them. You got to be sensitive to it. When the Holy Spirit is talking to you, listen. He's going to talk to you when you're picking out Netflix shows. He's going to speak to you about jobs. He's going to speak to you about marriage issues. He's going to nudge you just a little bit. And we got to listen to Him. Here's the next one. Step out in faith obedience. Step out in faith obedience. Line it up with God's Word. Get some godly counsel. Step out. Step out. Step out. In faith. You say, well, I think God is telling me to invite my friend across the office in the other cubicle to church. I think God is asking me to invite them to church, but I'm scared. And some time goes by and you're still feeling it. Just a little nudge. And there's that moment where you just got to step out in faith, because our world is telling us if you're uncomfortable, your situation must be wrong. That is not what the Bible tells us. Sometimes we are supposed to be uncomfortable in our situation so God can move us down the path He is trying to get us to go. When we get comfortable, we get lazy. We don't grow when we're comfortable. Nobody at the gym this morning is comfortable. Everybody there is uncomfortable, all right? So when I step out, it's going to take some faith to obey God. Here's the next one. Seek to be a blessing. What if I chose to live my life in a way that I wanted to be a blessing every day? That I wanted to bless somebody else in my life every day. Then my life wasn't about me. My life was about serving others. My life is about sharing the message of Jesus. My life is about doing the things that Jesus wants me to do right here, right now on earth. If I seek to be a blessing, He's going to nudge you. He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to say to you, hey, give that little waiter that's over there struggling financially, give him a big old fat tip today. And you're going to be like, Lord, I can't hear you. The dial's not tuned. I didn't tune the dial this morning. No, He's going to tell you to do stuff. He's going to tell you to do stuff. And I'm not, so many people have given so much more than we have. But years ago, we were at a Waffle House, one of my favorite places in the world, by the way. It's a Waffle House. And we left, and this was many years ago, and I think we had left $25 or $30 extra for a tip, because Jody and I were talking about it. And we're like, we just feel like this is what we're supposed to do. And this young girl comes running out, a waitress, and she says, you forgot your money. You forgot your money. And I said, no, that's your money. She said, no, it's your money. You forgot it. And I said, no, that's for you. We wanted you to have that. We wanted to give that to you. And she almost started crying right there in the parking lot. Now, I don't know what $25 meant to her, but when you feel that nudge of the Spirit and you align it with God's word and you've got some counsel and you've got some wisdom and you know you can do it, and stepping out in faith and being a blessing is a blessing to me and to you. When we step out and we do this God's way. Now, watch here's the last one. When you step out in faith and obey God in the middle of a confusing world, you need to take a moment after that and just reflect on that experience and what its effects were and say, okay, was that God doing that? Now I know what that nudge feels like. I know that worked out exactly the way I believe God wanted it to work out, so I know that nudge now. I know that nudge. When a baby is born, they say it immediately knows his mama's voice, because she's been talking to him for 9 months. Nobody has to say, okay, buddy, here is your mother. Listen for her. It comes naturally. When we're listening for God's voice, something special happens. God speaks to us and helps us. Now watch this. You're going to get way more out of this than you give. It's going to feel so good when you step out and you see God's hand at work and you go, I wasn't sure about it, but God used it. Look what God did. Look how God blessed us. So my choices determine my destination. That there are moments in this confusing world when it feels like everything is about to end. I mean, it feels like I said to my family the other day, sometimes I feel like I do not belong on planet Earth. And my wife started quoting scripture to me, like, you don't. And I was like, thank you very much. We're aliens in this world. We're just passing through. Citizens of heaven. The Bible tells us all this stuff. So we're not supposed to be comfortable here. But we are supposed to have peace and order in our lives. We don't have to be a part of the chaos and confusion. God wants us to feel joy. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to walk in order every day. Now here's what we're going to close out with this. Let's get some music. When God is working in our lives, we're going to have to be proactive about filtering certain voices out. We're going to have to be proactive about filtering out the confusion. Am I okay with all this confusion? If I'm okay with it, I'm probably not doing this the way God wants me to do it. See, God wants us to have peace and order. And we're going to pray that over somebody's life here this morning. Peace and order. If you always feel like you're just one step behind and always missing out, and peace and order is what God wants to speak to us this morning. This is what God wants. To filter it out. Let the peace in. Let the order in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, we're going to pray together, and we're going to claim. We're going to claim peace in our lives. Here's what I hope for you today. That the people in your life will look at you in a chaotic work scenario or chaotic, just wherever you are in the world and where chaos surrounds you. Here's my prayer, is that people will see you as a follower of Christ and they will say, I want what you got. You don't seem to be flustered and worried and out of pocket all the time. You seem like you're okay. And you're going to say, it's the peace and the order of God. Not me. It's not my ability to block stuff out. It's the peace of God that passes understanding, that guards my heart and my mind. I can't do this without His help. I believe God's going to help us. Filter it out. Filter it out. Filter it out. Stand with me if you would. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray two prayers this morning. The first one goes like this. Lord, I don't have a relationship with you, but I'm ready to start. I'm ready to start a relationship with you. I need you. I want you as my Savior. I'm tired of doing this on my own. I confess my sins. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to walk with you. That's the first prayer. That's your starting point. And that none of this other stuff works without a relationship with Christ, without putting Him in the throne, on the throne of our lives, without allowing Him authority in our lives. It doesn't work. We just got to surrender. And the second one's going to go like this. Lord, I live in a confusing world, and I'm ready for some order and some peace. Father, we thank you so much today for all your blessings. We thank you, God, for all you've done. You've been so good to us, Lord. You have helped us in so many ways. We thank you, Father. Lord, for the person that is here this morning watching online in a little bit, God, we just ask you to touch their heart and their mind right now. Lord, the person that says, I don't have a relationship with you, but I'm ready to start brand new. I know who you are. I know you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I'm ready to surrender my life to you. I confess my sins. I give it to you. I pray that you would take my life and turn it into whatever you want it to be. Surrender, Lord. I surrender to you today. And Lord, for the person that is caught up in confusion and fear and worry right now, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Grace Point Church, not in the name of any person in this building, but in the name of Jesus Christ, we speak peace and order. Peace and order. Peace and order over the lives of those here this morning. That today would begin the process. That today would be the day that you start working and we start allowing you to work in brand new ways in our life, Lord. We filter out the confusion and we live in peace and order. And we thank you, God, for what's coming. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. And Lord, we just want to surrender to you today every part of our life. every part of it, Lord. We don't want to live by the wisdom of this world. We want to live by godly, eternal wisdom that only you can give. And we pray for your help with this, Lord. Help us to sense that nudge of the Spirit. Help us to know that you are working in our circumstances today. And we give you praise right now. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here.